Hey guys, how's it going? Oh, all the youngins, I love it. If we could just pray, that would be great. God, we just come to you and pause in your presence, and we just ask you to steer our hearts, Lord. And we just know that you, whenever we come and join together in this place, you always have something for us. And you always bring us closer to you. And God, we just pray that you just draw us closer to you tonight, and that you give us the food that we need and what you need us to take out to the world, God. So we love you so much, and we thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, Lord, and for sending the Holy Spirit to guide us through life, God. We're so, so thankful. Amen. All right. Just have to say, the lights up here are really bright. But if you guys don't know me, I'm Hillary, or some of you call me Hills. I'm usually just the loud one that sits over there. So I am from Arizona originally, but I've been in New Zealand for about 8 years now. And 5 of those years, I've been married to that hot guy. So my stepdaughter, Ella, is 19, and she just moved to Australia today. What does that say about motherhood if they move away to a different country on Mother's Day? But anyways, no, we're super proud of her. She's going to the UK after that to do some work, and that's awesome. And we also have Schnooly, the white fluffy dog you probably see running around the car park frequently. So, so just to tell you a bit about my childhood growing up, I was very blessed to grow up in a Christian home. And I had quite a unique, quirky family. So when I was about 12, my parents decided, oh, we're not going to do the school thing anymore. We're just going to put you all on the job site. And we took 2 years off of school and hammered every nail into our own house and built a house on my family's farm. And so not only were we the homeschoolers then, the Christian homeschoolers, but then we were the ones that didn't even do homeschool. We just hammered nails. So but I'm really thankful for that, because my parents taught me a really great work ethic that I now, you know, whip drew into, so that's great. So I also have to give a shout out to my mom, because I know she's probably going to try to listen to the podcast later. And my mom is an absolute budgeting nerd. Like, she was the one that you'd be in the grocery store and she has the calculator out, you know, $5 too much, we only have $4.20, you know. And but she taught me how to budget well and manage finances, and she actually gave me a lot of business and life skills that I have now. So I love you, Mom, and thank you so much. So when we were growing up, and like I said, we went to church, I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 8 years old. It was at a church concert, and that was great. And I know, looking back now as an adult, that the Holy Spirit was in the room, but at the time, I didn't recognize that was what it was, because we didn't talk about the Holy Spirit in our church. It was just, oh yeah, we have these songs that make you feel good and you go home and it's all good. And so I gave my life to the Lord that night, and he spoke to me in a dream, and I talked to my parents about it and said, oh, Jesus was, you know, sitting in this dream and we were in this boat together, and they were like, oh yeah, that's cool, you know. But it just wasn't a thing that we didn't talk about prophetic dreams or anything in our church. So, again, looking back, it's really cool to start making some of the connections, but I didn't have that at that stage of my faith. And let's see, where am I up to here? So when I was 18, I rode horses a lot growing up on our farm and traveled. And when I was 18, I got my little Honda Civic and drove to Kentucky with my dad, and he flew back. And I lived in Kentucky for the next few years, and I worked on horse farms. And I ended up working in horse hospitals, and that was really my passion, is I managed racehorses. So that was what I was really interested in, and God really gifted me with the career that was what I was passionate about. So he opened a lot of doors, and that was awesome. But while I was there, horses have to eat on Sundays. Who knew? You know? And so I was able to connect into a church, and there was a lot of loving people, and I was grateful for that. But I didn't end up going to church a lot, because I was working on horse farms a lot. And slowly, I drifted away from the Lord because of my career and then surrounding myself with the wrong people through my career and just not being intentional about it. So this past weekend, I went to the Seeking God retreat. Shout out to Ellie. And it was awesome, of course. And I went with Ruth. We kind of did a girls' weekend. It was really fun. But Ellie spoke to us about equipping ourselves, like going into training. And a couple of years ago, my husband and I ran a marathon, and we had to do a lot of training, you know. And so it really resonated with me, Ellie, that you said, you know, we have to train as warriors for Christ, as soldiers, and be ready, like, when the enemy is going to strike. And this is just foreign to me. Like, I've heard about it a little bit since I've been coming to church here, but it's not something that registered to me as a younger Christian. And Ellie mentioned that we need to be speaking in tongues, and we need to be using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Bible, and digging into it. And we also need to practice praise and thanksgiving. And so I just wanted to give a little shout out to the Seeking God retreat, because that really, really resonated with me. And I had never, again, at City, but not before then, I hadn't learned about being prophetic and listening to the Holy Spirit promptings. And Naomi shared earlier that we got to have some special time together washing feet, and that was something that I just hadn't experienced before, and I was really, really encouraged by the Seeking God retreat that I learned some of those tools that God gives us. So if you haven't been to the Seeking God retreat, you should definitely go. Definitely worthwhile. So and as a Christian, and I know Ellie, you spoke about this as well, but one of the most dangerous places you can be is not actively pursuing God's will. I just want to encourage you young people that, or anyone in the room, that if you're just standing here and just waiting for the wind to blow you one direction or the other of, oh, maybe I'll go to that party, or, oh, maybe I'll have a drink, or maybe I might go to church if it turns out to be the right Sunday and I feel like it. Like, I see you laughing over there, okay? but if you're in that place, like, oh, the devil's all over you. Like, he's already won the game if you're standing there waiting to see what happens. And so I just want to encourage you that we have to be active. Like, we have to be walking after the Lord, and we have to be asking the Lord consistently to keep teaching us and to keep growing us and to stay in his will in our lives. And unfortunately, when I was 18, 19, 20 years old, I was not doing that. I was waiting for the wind to blow whichever direction. And the devil was in my life, and he stole, killed, and destroyed some of the things that God had for me. Some of these things were, I let him distract me from my walk with God with partying and alcohol. I let him distort my understanding of what a healthy relationship was and a value for marriage through a controlling relationship and a sexually immoral relationship. And I also really let him fuel my pride, and I had a very pride-filled lifestyle because I just idolized my career. Like, nothing was more important than me doing well in my career, and that still seeps into my life today, and like, we got to keep that in check, you know? So thankfully, God opened a door while I was in Kentucky and gave me this opportunity to move to Metemeta, of all places, for 4 months to work in an equine hospital. And my boss at the time let me take the breeding season off. You know, we have different breeding seasons than the Southern Hemisphere. And so he let me take one season off. He said, you can go for this 4 months, and that's it. And I took the job, and I flew over, and my partner at the time was not happy about it. And I just felt very pushed, like, for some reason, I just need to go. And at that time, I didn't have any idea about the Holy Spirit's promptings, and I didn't have God as the center of my life at all. So I just decided to get on the plane and go. And God delivered me. Like, coming to New Zealand was my deliverance. Like, you could call New Zealand the promised land because It absolutely changed my life and took me out of a situation that was really unhealthy and controlling that I probably would have had a lot harder time getting out of otherwise. So fast forward a few years, Drew and I got married, which is awesome. And one night, we were discussing the topic of religion, because at this stage, we still weren't going to church. And Drew was not a believer at all, and I'll let you tell him his story, but or him tell you his story. But we were just discussing it, and he said, well, what is really the difference between your God and other gods, like the Muslim God or the Hindu, and some of these other gods, you know, seem to have good values as well, and really, what is the difference? Like, what's the pros and cons? And for the first time in my life, I felt like God clearly spoke through me. And he said, or I said, he said through me, well, my God is the only God that came to this earth, that walked on this earth, and that died on the cross for my sins. And in that moment, I'm feeling shaky because I'm in that moment again. But in that moment, I had a foundation for my faith that I had never had before. Like, and Drew was, okay. Like, it really resonated with him as well. And during that time period, we were both working 6-7 days a week, and we weren't prioritizing our family life. And as a reflection of that, our marriage and some of our family life being a blended family was starting to struggle. So we decided, well, we should probably give that church thing a try now that we're having these conversations. And let's give it a go. And so we came to City Church, and we tried a few other churches as well, but this has really felt like home for us. So thank you, Alan and Elena, and everyone else for taking us under your wing. And let's see. Oh, around that same time, we also, we started coming to church, and then shortly after, we started our own business. And this was while we were both still working full time, but we had this opportunity to start picking up a few clients on the side. And in faith, we just gave it a go, and eventually we were able to both quit our full-time jobs and work full-time from home, which was really cool. And I just asked God, in that stage of life, okay, God, you know, we're walking with you now, and I want to see where this journey is going next. And it would just be really, really awesome, like so cool, if we could work from home and live anywhere. Like, if we could just have jobs that I don't have to drive to work every day and put makeup on, because I hate doing that, and just work from anywhere. And a little while later, my stepdaughter Ella moved out, and we put our house on the market, just seeing, we'll just see how the market is. You know, the real estate agent was telling us, it might take 6 months to sell. The market's going up right now, or going down, sorry. And within 7 days, our house sold, and an Indian couple that was just moving here from India bought it and bought everything in our house. Like, they didn't bring anything over with them. Like, you couldn't have planned that, you know? It's like, there's no way that's not God, you know? And so Drew and I literally rolled out of our house with 2 suitcases each, like we were going to hop on a flight, and suddenly we were homeless because our house sold much faster than we were anticipating. And and we got over asking. Come on, thank you, Lord. Yeah. And so we lived out of our ute for the next 5 months, and our church family really stepped in, and suddenly we had all these house-sitting opportunities, and we stayed in camp parks and in cabins, and we just kind of floated around the country to where there was an opportunity. We did a little bit of camping. At one point, we got to go on a cruise. So that was awesome, yeah. And so God was good. God provided. Like, people thought we were insane, but God provided. It was good. And finally, our caravan arrived. We bought a caravan from Australia. It arrived, and we moved into our caravan, and we've been traveling around New Zealand and traveling to some different churches over the last year. And After downsizing from a four-bedroom house to a caravan, we just recognized how little you actually need. Like you can only wear one outfit at a time, ladies, okay? Like, so that was really an eye-opener to us. We bought four plastic $1 plates from the warehouse, and we got the van thinking, oh, this will hold us over for a week or two. We're still eating off the same plates, and we're using our camping pots, you know, like pots and pans, and you just don't need that much. And so this was just a real eye-opener for us of like, oh, where else can we kind of scurry away? And it was just really interesting. And so we're traveling around, and we're up in Northland, and one day we're driving along, and I just, for the maybe 6 months in, we were really asking God, like, what's the next step? Like, where's the next path you want us to go on? And I just felt God say to me, 90-10. And because we were getting even better at our budgeting and giving up all this stuff, and it became like a game for us, I said to Drew in the car, oh, what if we could give away 90% and live off of 10%, and that's not taking anything away from the tithe, but how crazy would this be, and how cool? And of course, Drew responded with, oh, yeah, you're crazy, but that's a normal occurrence in our household, so it didn't deter me. But we went home, or we went back to the caravan, and for the next few months, we started praying about it. And for part of those months, we felt like, oh, we don't really want to do this, so maybe we should actually just ignore this prompting. Like maybe this isn't the Holy Spirit. And it just kept coming up, and it kept coming up in different ways in our life. So now we have it, the 90-10 project. And it is our goal to have our platform to promote extreme generosity through both money and time management. And God's just showed us, he's been so faithful, and he's given us an abundance of time and money in ways that we couldn't imagine. And we want to encourage others to be able to experience that too. So we have a long way to go. Where a lot of people, we tell them this, and they're like, oh, wow, you're giving 90%? And as much as I'd love to be like, yeah, we're awesome. Like, it's like we are not to our goal. And this is going to be a lifelong ever aiming at, you know, we go through different seasons of life, so we change in different ways. So we have a long way to go, but we're asking God to help us grow and move towards this goal every day. So we'd love for you guys to be a part of the project as well. So there's a QR code up there that you can scan it and subscribe to our newsletter to see what we're up to. We have some events coming up that we're going to be helping out in the community. And we also have a Facebook page and a YouTube that you can join us on. And trust me, I know this goal sounds absolutely crazy, but we believe, and we've seen it happen before, that God is going to do big, beautiful, crazy things. And one of these things that he's already provided with is we are able to hire a team member, and her name is Phoebe, and she lives in the Philippines. And Phoebe and her husband, AJ, are a beautiful young couple, and they just have crazy hearts for God. Like we interviewed probably 20 people, and we didn't make it a requirement that you have to be a Christian, but she goes to a Pentecostal church in the Philippines, like out of all people you could meet, you know? And she has just been an incredible blessing in our life and to our team. So later this year, we have the blessing that we get to go visit them and possibly visit some other ministry partners and missionaries in Asia as well. So with this thought of generosity, I just wanted to share with you some scriptures about where it talks about generosity in the Old and the New Testament. So in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, it says, blessings for obedience. I'm not going to read all of these out to you, but in verse 11, part of verse 11 says, the Lord will grant you abundant prosperity. Verse 13 says, the Lord will make you the head, not the tail. I don't think Ash is here tonight, but Ash actually spoke this word over us about a year and a half ago, and it's really beautiful to see it come back into our lives. Moses also said in verse 13, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. So that's pretty awesome. Chapter 30 is literally titled Prosperity After Turning to the Lord. So if you don't like reading, it's in the title, okay? Prosperity After Turning to the Lord. Like, I encourage you to read the chapter, but that's just awesome. 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter 8, verse 2 to 3, Paul's talking about the Macedonians, and he says, out of the most severe trials, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. So these people are extremely poor, but they're full of joy and they're giving everything they can. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. That's so cool. Chapter 9, verse 6 through 7, Paul says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each human should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Chapter 9, verse 11, you will be made rich in every way, not just money, guys, like in every way. If you want a husband, in every way, like if you're praying for a house, in every way, it's awesome. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So finally, you get to make a decision. Because God gave us all free will. He didn't make us robots. He wants our hearts. He wants a life change for us, a heart change. We're here to glorify him. In Deuteronomy 30:11, Moses said to the Israelites, now, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It's totally accessible. In verse 15 through 16, he continues, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws, and you will live and increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. So I'm not asking you to take a large step and to commit to some crazy giving. The fact is, when we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, the Holy Spirit enables us to give. The Holy Spirit enables us to be generous and gives us that joy of generosity. And this is what I didn't realize as a young person, and what was missing in my faith was the Holy Spirit. We have to have the Holy Spirit. Like, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, I promise you, you're just going to walk through life muscling it through. Like, I interned at a church. I was trying to be involved in everything, go to every prayer meeting. But I was just muscling it through. Like, we don't have enough muscle without the power of God. Like, we need the power of God, and God gave us the power. We got the power. Sorry, that was bad. He gave us the power through the Holy Spirit. So he doesn't need our money either. We glorify him with our tithe, with our giving, with our generosity. This is the fruit of our generous hearts, is our tithe. So this church has opened the door for me to experience the Holy Spirit through freedom prayer, the Seeking God retreat, and then just coming every Sunday and being in fellowship with all y'all. And I want you guys to experience the Holy Spirit that way too. Don't wait until you're further down the line. Like, we all need it now, you know. So I'm asking you today to take a step and make a decision towards Jesus. If the band wants to start playing again, you guys are good to go. Jesus wants to do life with you. He wants to be walking with you. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's not just this airy, flary, floaty thing. It's a person, and he wants to be in your life. It's called the Trinity. There's three parts of the Trinity. There's not just Jesus and God. We have Holy Spirit here. So I would like you to take a step towards Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, we'd love to pray for you tonight. And we'd love to lead you in a prayer that brings you to Jesus and starts your walk with him. And if you already know Jesus and if you've already committed your life to him, but you're just thirsty and you need a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit, please come up to the front because we'd love to pray for you. So I hope that my testimony resonates with you, and I hope that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you tonight. But I'm going to leave you with this one question. How willing are you to trust him and be obedient? In turn, you will experience the full extent of his abundance and blessing in your life. So, thanks, guys.
So what we're going to do in just a moment is we're going to come, and I'd love to encourage you to come and grab some communion and go and stand somewhere along the front from that, between that white wall and this white wall. You may even want to kneel somewhere near the cross. You may want to just have your own little worship space and place. But you know, I've been reading and talking about the scripture in Psalms, and Psalm 8 verse 2. And a lot of us know that psalm as out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have ordained praise. But that's a NIV, I think. But I was reading it in the Passion Translation, and I was sharing this with, I've shared it with Ruth and Joe and a few others, Joe West, and it just keeps resonating with me and our staff. And it says, this is to the Lord. Lord, you have built a stronghold by the songs of children. Strength rises up with the chorus of infants. This kind of praise has power to shut Satan's mouth. Childlike worship will silence the madness of those who oppose you. So in some versions it says you've ordained praise, other versions it says you have ordained strength. And you know, when we worship the Lord in a childlike way, it shuts down the voice of the devil. It silences the voice of the enemy. And I love how God chooses children, and children in the natural are small, and they're physically small. And often people will see children as maybe being weaker than adults. Physically, they're smaller, they're weaker. But I love how God chooses something small and weak and so pure to shout out and declare his praise. And God says, when that beautiful, pure, weak thing declares my praise, I give strength into that space. Strength comes, spiritual strength comes. It shuts down the devil. Then I take this other scripture here that Jesus quickened to me this week when I was reading Matthew this week, Matthew 18. And Jesus called a little child over and he said, unless you change, he's talking to his disciples. Hey guys, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So we've all got to change and become like little children. And then Jesus went on to say, whoever humbles himself, herself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So what we've got to do is we've got to become childlike and praise the Lord in a beautiful, with a beautiful childlike spirit. And what's a child like? Kids don't know much. You know, and they come and ask you questions off and off, over and over again. You know, we've got to be like that child, like, man, I don't know everything, Lord. If we think we know everything, we are like the Pharisees. And Jesus picked zero, no Pharisees were picked to be part of his team. They'd all been to Bible college, but Jesus went for tradies and fishermen who knew nothing, hadn't been to Bible college. So if we get to the place where we know everything, then the Lord won't pick us. He has to find someone who doesn't know everything so we can learn, so we can learn from him and learn at his feet. So let's be childlike and sing his praises, and or just declare his praises, and then he will ordain strength. He will build strength and he will shut down the voice of the enemy. And we're going to sing that beautiful song again. And I want to invite you to come and take some communion if you like, and then find your own space along here somewhere. Or out at the side, you can kneel by the cross if you want, you could stand, you could worship and sing. And we're going to declare who he is, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He is so worthy. Come now. Father, we pray you would make us childlike. We pray we would be childlike before you and declare your praise. That's good. Lead us, girls. Thanks. Thank you, Father.
Father, we just thank you for your blood. was poured out for your body that was pierced for our transgressions. Thank you for the stripes through which we have healing. Father, we thank you that you didn't just stay in the grave, but you rose again, giving us the hope of eternal life and salvation. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit, that even though, Lord Jesus, you went back to heaven, you didn't leave us alone. You gave us your Holy Spirit. And you've sealed that salvation inside the promise of your Holy Spirit. It's in us now. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. So there's this, I'm going to tell a story. I'm going to try and keep it quick. But there's this little lamb. It's just a little lamb. Not too much to say. It's white and fluffy and it's little. And it walks along through beautiful grassy fields. And it walks along cool running streams. And it gets to rest and enjoy its life as a little lamb. Just a little lamb. And it's, if you could look inside the lamb and then inside its heart, you would find that the lamb is at peace. One day, the lamb finds itself following all the other sheep, and the lamb has to go through or into a dark, scary valley. It's dark because the sun doesn't get into it. It's dark and foreboding. It's kind of scary. You don't know what's behind that tree and you don't know what's behind that rock over there. It makes the little lamb uneasy. It's scary because you just don't know if you're going to get through that valley. And the lamb, its heart is racing as it goes through that dark valley, that scary place. No sun, no light, just darkness. It's only a little lamb. It's just a little lamb. If something was to come up, the little lamb, what could it do? Not much. It's a lamb. It's good at being white and fluffy, and that's about it. There's another little lamb. Oh, sorry, let me say this. And no longer does the lamb walk through the valley in the dark, did the lamb have any peace. The peace was gone. Because the lamb just wasn't sure if it was going to get out the other side. There was another little lamb. And this little lamb was also white and fluffy, except this little lamb knew that wherever they went, whether it was through grass, beside a cool running stream, whether it was through a dark valley, whether it was on a hilltop or the bottom of the hill, that it was being led by a shepherd. And the shepherd carried a couple of tools with him. One was a rod. The first was a rod. And with the rod, if anything came up in the dark place, the shepherd would beat it. Get out of here. Stay away from my little lamb. And with he also had a staff, and you would use the staff to guide the sheep. See, the sheep could see the staff, and if they could see the staff, they knew where the shepherd was going, and they knew that they would be okay if they followed the shepherd. The funny thing about that sheep, it didn't matter whether the grass was green or the grass was brown. It didn't matter if the river was flowing or it was just a trickle. It didn't matter if they were walking on the hilltops or in the depths of the darkest valley. Those sheep understood that as long as I've got the shepherd, everything is going to be fine. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they protect me, they comfort me. Who here is believing for something? Every believer in the house, who here is believing for something? Who needs God to come through in some way today? Maybe it's a friend. Come on, put your hands up. Put your hands up. Declare it tonight. Declare it tonight. Are you believing for something? Maybe it's your future. Maybe it's your plans. Maybe it's someone who you know who's not well. Maybe it's a job you need. You need the shepherd to come through. You know, the hardest times are always when you go through the dark valleys. That's the time where your peace gets upset. And unfortunately, you do have to walk through a valley or two. If you're on the other side of the valley, though, on the other side of the valley is the blessing. See, the valleys never last forever. There's grass on one side, there's a valley on in between, and then there's grass on the other side. You know, every human, every believer needs the promised land. And God is taking you on a journey to the promised land. Whatever it is you're believing for tonight, whatever it is you're believing for tonight, whatever it is you're believing for tonight, whether you're in a valley or in a mountaintop, you are not alone. His rod will protect you. His staff will guide you. So what I want to do now, come on, everybody stand to your feet. If you're a believer that needs God to come through in some way, and honestly, if you're not praying for something, start today. I want us to lift up all our hands. Lift them up high. Lift them up high. And I want you to believe right now that what you're praying for is on the end of your hands. And you're lifting the prayer up to God. And I want you to believe right now, man, it's going to take some courage. It's going to take some strength. But as I keep believing, I will see the promise fulfilled. God has not left me. I might be going through a hard time, but He has not left me. He is still with me. In fact, He's right in front of me. He's taking me through the valley. And out the other side is the promised land. My blessing, my hope, my future. It's in Him. With your own tongues, begin to lift up a prayer that says, Lord, I'm going to stand strong. I'm going to put on my spiritual armor and I'm going to fight for the blessing. Peace will not disappear from my heart. I will not let peace disappear from my heart because I know you're with me. I know you're with me, Lord. Whatever it is, come on, lift your voices up, church. Don't wait for someone to pray for you. The power of God is on your side too. You don't have to wait. If you can't think of words, just begin to speak in tongues. We proclaim healing. Father, we might be in a valley, but we believe there's healing on the other side and we won't give up. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we believe in wealth, that you've blessed us with your Holy Spirit prosperity inside of us. Lord, we're not going to give up. We're not going to give up. We know that you can do it. Father, where there's dry ground, we know that you can do it. Oh, Lord. Father, for salvation. Father, for the salvation of our loved ones and family. Father, we thank you that you can do it. It might look dark, but you can do it. Father, I. Whatever it is that is the blessing that you're after, I just want to say tonight, whether you're on a valley or in a valley or on a mountaintop, there's still time to bless God. There's still space to bless God. And just keep pushing. Keep pushing. Now, I'm not saying keep pushing and yelling at God and all those kind of things. But whether I'm on a hill or I'm in a valley, His praise will never disappear from my lips. His praise will always be on my lips because He's a good and faithful God. Lord, just tonight we believe whatever it is for ourselves and for our friends around us, Lord, as a congregation of faith and a congregation of believers, Lord, we just pray, Lord, and thank You, Lord, for what You're going to do, and we believe for a good report. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you know, I listened to a lady talk about this song that she wrote, "May the Lamb Receive All the Reward of Me," and the saying actually comes from the Moravians, something like that, in about the 16th century, and they would say it to people that were going to go on a mission field and were possibly not going to come back. That they would never see it again. And families would say it to their loved ones. May the Lamb receive the reward in you as you go and give your life completely to God. And the Lamb of God. And so my things tonight, I had four things that I felt to pray for. One of them was, like Gene, I feel we've got to ask God for something. And so what is it that you're asking God for? And you need someone to pray for that in your life. You know, sometimes we just, I can do it on my own. I think there was a great, Hillary had a great saying there, I tried to muscle my way. Sometimes we try to muscle things ourselves. You need to ask someone for help. Now, what is it that you need some help or what is it that you're believing for? So the first thing is, I want you to pray and ask someone to pray for you in some area. Someone here that you know, okay? The second thing I felt was, we sing about the joy of the Lord is your strength, and I just felt some people, you're really battling with joy. You actually don't have joy. You actually probably feel possibly a little bit depressed, or you feel this weight or this heaviness. And I feel you, I'm going to, just down the front, come up here and get someone to pray for you. If you're feeling that load, and again, ask someone to pray for you. And then at the same time, I felt people were apathetic. And apathy is at times a spirit that comes on us that makes us so we just don't care. We just, just float on through. And if you feel that you've got an apathy on you, again, come and stand up here. And the last one, so those are four things. One, if you need something, ask someone to pray for you. Just someone next to you in a moment when we do this. Joy, feeling apathetic. And the third one is if you need a word from God. If you want someone to give you a prophetic word, if you go, man, I just need to hear something good, you might have something in an area and say, hey, can you just pray for me and give me a word in this area? Or you may say nothing and just say, could you just give me a word? I want you to come and stand up here now. Okay, so before we sing, why don't you quickly move us? That's one of those things for you. Quickly move. That's good. Yep. If you're coming actually to the front on the altar, come and stand, come forward, because I'm going to let the rest of your people know what I need you to do, because the guys are going to sing again. We're closing the altar in a moment. Oh, we haven't done that before, have we? Oh, okay. If you're coming now. Okay, so those that pray for people, we're going to come and pray for these people. I want everybody out there to find somebody to pray for them. You can do it in twos, or maybe threes, if just find someone and say, can you pray for this in my life? Like Gene said, is that all right? Ready? And these guys are going to sing while we do it, and we're going to, the rest of the ministry team, we're going to pray down this line and for whatever people need. Thank you. Good stuff, Charlotte. Let's go.